Amen. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 tonight, we're verse 35. You remember the Lord's been speaking to his disciples. A great multitude has come around. They're trampling each other to get close to the Lord, but he's addressing his disciples, no doubt. There are others there that can hear what Jesus is saying. But he's been telling his disciples about the importance of seeking the kingdom of God and not worrying about the things of this life, laying up treasure in heaven, constantly watching and ready for our Lord's return is what we're going to see tonight as we've got to get our eyes off the here and now and set our affections on things above. And I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is coming again. Just as sure as he created all things, as we know, beyond a shadow of doubt, he came into this world. He was born in that and laid in that manger as he lived that life that he lived. We learn about his life and his ministry there around Galilee and Jerusalem and all about those parts. And as sure as we know that he died on the cross, as sure as we know he rose again, we know he's coming again. The promises of his return are absolutely sure. And we're challenged tonight by the Lord to be ready for that coming. If you're able, let's stand together. We're in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Luke 12, 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth of your first coming, and we thank you for the many promises that you're coming again. Lord, I pray that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts tonight. And Lord, as we live our day-by-day lives, as we go through the things that we must in life, the monotonies even of life, Lord, I pray that we would be ever watchful. Lord, that we would always have our hearts set on things above, that we would be ready and watching, knowing that you're coming again. And Lord, by your grace, let us be found faithful when you come. Please help now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Four areas that we need to be ready for, ways in which we need to be ready at the Lord's coming, I'd like to talk to you about tonight. He gives us a couple of illustrations. One has to do with the bridegroom coming. And this is a little different because he talks in this parable about the bridegroom coming not for the bride, but the bridegroom having the servants ready when he comes for them. And we'll talk about that. He also gives us this illustration of the thief. And there's this connotation in our mind that we think about a thief in a negative sense, but that's not the point. The point is that if you knew the thief was coming, you'd be ready. And in the same way that you never are ready for a thief to come, most people aren't going to be ready when the Lord comes. And the challenge is for us to be ready, to be ready. Tonight, I want to tell you, first of all, we need to be ready to go. We need to be ready to go. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. We look into the scriptures and we see a lot of times when the Bible talks about having your loins girded about there when the Lord instituted the Exodus in Exodus 12, 11. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And when the Lord established the Passover, he said, I want you to eat it, but I want you to be ready to go. You're going to eat it, and it's going to be time to get out of there. And so one of the things that he said, not only have your shoes on and your staff in your hand, but have your loins girded about. 1 Kings 18:46 says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. 2 Kings 4:29, he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. I just want you to see that this idea of having your loins girt about means you're ready to go. It means that there's a preparedness. It means that there's a haste. There's an anticipation. And friends, Jesus Christ could come back, I believe, at any time. I know that there are a lot of debates about the rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, and some would say a pre-wrath rapture, but I'm going to tell you, I believe in the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's why we've got to be ready. We don't know the time that he's coming. We don't know the day or the hour. By the way, just I wanted to throw this in there for you ladies. I don't want you to feel left out. Proverbs 31, you remember that? Lady there in verse 17, it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. It's for all of us to be ready. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your minds, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he'll reveal himself physically, bodily, visibly, and he is coming again. So we need to be ready to go. We need to have our lights burning. And we won't take the time to dig into it too much tonight, but you'll remember in Matthew 25, the parable of the virgins who were waiting. And 10 of those, there were 10, 5 of them were wise and had their oil ready, and 5 of them were unwise and they weren't ready to go when the bridegroom came. And friends, we need to have our lights burning. We need to be watching and ready. Now, Vernon McGee talks about this and the way that weddings went on in those days in the East and those traditions, but he says that the groom had a wedding supper with his friends and then went to claim his bride at her home. The servants of the groom were expected to be dressed for work, have their lamps lighted for the return procession. The attitude of the believer to the return of Christ is to be one of readiness, having the loins girded, doing all we can for him, and living in expectation of his return. And so we've got this picture. We think about the bridegroom. We know that he would go and prepare a place, and the bride would be ready, waiting, and not knowing when he would come. He could come any time, any day. But not only that, we see the picture here that the servants were to be ready, because his servants were to be prepared. When it was time to go get the bride, they had to be ready. And so we've got to be ready to go. I want to ask you tonight, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? You know, there are a lot of people that want to go to heaven. They just don't want to go right now. I don't think that's the heart of a born-again child of God who's living for Jesus. Amen. Now, I get it. There's things that we would like to enjoy life with our spouse, and we would like to see our kids and our grandkids grow up. There's things in this life that we want to be a part of, but I want you to be reminded tonight that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. We hear people all the time say, well, I'm, you know, it's better to be 6 feet, it's better to be above ground than 6 feet under. But I want to tell you, it's really not. It's really not. For the child of God, it's not better. It's not better. To die is gain. God has something great in store, and we need to be ready to go. You can't be ready. You can't be ready unless you've been born again. If you never repented of your sin, put your faith in Christ, if you are not saved, dear friend, if you've never received the gift of eternal life, you're not ready. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus could come back at any time, and if you don't know for sure that you're saved, you're not ready. I want to tell you good news tonight, you can get ready. The lost person can be saved tonight. If you're of that age of accountability in your heart tonight, you know if I died tonight, I'd end up in hell. I know that. Then friend, you can repent. You can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can call on his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I believe there are people in the room right now tonight that have never been born again. They know that they're lost. And I'm telling you, friend, Jesus could come back today. Amen. Today. You need to get ready. Amen. You need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Not only do we need to be ready to go by being saved, but we need to be ready to go by being faithful. I think it's interesting that he says your loins girded about. Well, we know that the men in the old in Bible times, they wore long flowing garments, robes, and it was hard to run around. So when it was time to go, they would bunch those up and tie a girdle or a kind of like a belt around it to get them up out of the way. And they would get that up out of the way so they were ready to run. Well, my Bible tells me that our Christian life is like a race. And we are to be running for the Lord Jesus Christ, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. We're to run with patience the race that is set before us. We're to run this race that God has given us. And so we've got to be ready to run. You need to be saved, but you need to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, there's more to serving Jesus than showing up for church. I get it. You're the Sunday night crowd, and I thank God that you see the importance of being here when the church is assembled together, that you don't forsake the assembling. You ought to be here when the church is set to assemble. You ought to be here. But there's more to serving Jesus. You know what? When you get up on Monday morning, you ought to serve Jesus. And all through the week, you ought to serve Jesus. And hey, even on Friday night and Saturday night, you ought to serve Jesus. We ought to be ready to run, ready to go, and our lights burning. You can't think about the lights burning without thinking about the fact that Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Listen, you don't light a candle and cover it up with a basket or a vessel, but you set it up that your light can shine to everyone in the house. Listen, if we're going to be ready to go, well, we better be busy telling others about Jesus. We better be busy living out the Christian life by our lives and with our lips, by our works and our words, bearing witness that Jesus Christ has saved us. And bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be ready to go. Next, let me say we need to be ready to open the door. We need to be ready to open. Look at verse 36. "Ye yourselves liken the men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, and when the Lord cometh, he shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." We need to be ready to open the door immediately. The Lord's coming, and you don't want to be caught asleep. Listen, the servant's job was to be ready. The servant's job was to be watching. And whether he came in the first watch or the second watch or the third watch of the night, it doesn't matter. If he comes before the midnight hour, if he comes at the midnight hour, if it comes at 3 a.m, whenever the Lord comes, we need to be watching. In other words, we don't want to leave Jesus standing at the door knocking. We want to be ready to open the door as soon as he's there. As a matter of fact, it ought to be that we're opening the door before he knocks. Amen. My kids still like me for the most part. And a lot of times when I come home at the end of the day, I don't even have to open the door myself. They open the door for me because they're excited that Daddy's home. Amen. I can't tell you what a joy that is to my heart. Amen. You know why? Because they're watching. They're looking out the window. They see when I pull down the drive and they're ready for me to come home. Listen, friends, that's a joy to my heart. I remember being like that when I was a boy. I remember watching for Daddy to come home. I want to tell you something. That ought to be our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're watching. And it doesn't matter when it is, what stage of our life it is, what time of day it is, we're ready for Jesus to come. We're watching. We're ready to open the door. "Blessed are those servants whom when the Lord, when he cometh, he finds watching." This word watching has the idea to keep awake, to be vigilant. We're to be that watchman, watching and ready. I think about Daryl a lot of times. You know, Daryl is a security man, and he has to stay awake for 12 hours at a time. That's hard for some of us to do. Amen. And when FEMA was over here, Brother Daryl was over there at Moffitt Schools and a couple of different places, but he had to be there all night, 12 hours, just be there and be awake. That might be the hardest job. I could never do that job. Amen. I could never do that job. I don't need a job where I got to stay awake. I need a job where I can drive so I can take naps. Yeah, you can think about that later. Listen, It's the security man's job is to stay awake. He's got to be vigilant. He's got to be watching. Can you imagine what it'd be like if it's your job to be the security guard and somebody comes in and steals a bunch of stuff? And you wake up and stuff's gone? That wouldn't be good. You might be looking for a different line of work. And I want to tell you, friends, as Christians, we ought to be looking for the Lord. As the church, we ought to be looking for the Lord's. We got to be vigilant, looking for His return. Stay awake. See, the Bible tells us that the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And it's high time that we awake out of sleep. We need to get busy. We need to be watching and ready to open the door. I'm afraid that too many of us, when the Lord comes knocking, we're not ready to open the door because we're busy in the back trying to hide what we've been doing. See, I wasn't always at the window watching for Daddy to come home. Sometimes when I heard the truck coming up the driveway, I remembered all the things that I was supposed to do that day. Anybody else live that way? Like, there were things that Dad gave me to do, get this done before I get home, and you'd be, you know, you got busy with important things like playing. You know, there were bikes to ride and trees to climb and, you know, sticks to throw and stuff. Important business to be done, and you'd hear Dad's truck coming up the drive, and you go, oh, no, I forgot to do that stuff. So I wasn't excited on those days for Dad to come home. I was running around trying to get something done. And too many of us, I'm afraid, when the Lord comes knocking, we're going to be running around scrambling saying, oh, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But we need to be ready to go. We need to be ready to open. We need to be ready to receive. Now, I want you to look with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Revelation 19 and verse 6. This is one of the most astounding portions of Scripture I think that there is, because I want you to get this picture. We're sitting waiting for our Lord. We're sitting waiting for His return. We're sitting and waiting for this glorious day of this wedding supper. And in Revelation 19:6 says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I mean, that's just powerful right there. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's all-powerful God reigns. We look at the terrible things going on in the world today. We look forward to the terrible things, the great tribulation that's coming, and the troubles that this world is going to see are beyond our comprehension, but God still reigns. And verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Listen, there's coming a marriage supper. The Lord's going to come for His bride, and there's going to be a great wedding feast in heaven one day. For the saints, those who have been set apart, those who have been saved because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb are going to be called. And I want you to get this. Look, these are the true sayings of God. Do you got that? Now jump back to our text. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Look at it. Verily, I say unto you, you know what that is? This is a true saying. Who's talking? Jesus Christ. This is a true saying. This is the truth. Look, I say unto you, Jesus says that He, the Lord, shall gird Himself. He, the Lord, will make them, the servants, to sit down to meat. And He, the Lord, will come forth and serve them. You know, the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took off His coat, He girded Himself with a towel, and He came by and he washed the feet of his disciples. Now listen, friend, you may have heard that your whole life, but I don't know that any of us can understand that. The Lord of glory, the Lord God omnipotent that reigns in heaven, humbled himself and he bowed down and washed the feet of his disciples. And many of you would be like Peter. You're going to wash my feet, Lord? No. And you'll remember the Lord told Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part with me. And many of you would have been like Peter. Well, then just wash all of me. Not just my feet. Give me all. And he said, you're already clean. Every whit. You're already completely clean, but you need your feet washed. It's hard to imagine that the Lord, the Son of God and the Son of Man, would do that. That he would gird himself about and wash the disciples' feet. But he came lowly. He came as a servant. He came as a sacrifice. But friends, when he comes again, he's not coming lowly. He's coming in all his glory. He's not coming as a servant. He's coming as the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, when he comes again, he's not coming humbly. He's coming with all of his power and all of his might and all of his majesty. And yet still, when he comes, he will serve the servants. I can't begin to wrap my mind around what the scripture's saying, but I know it's true because he says it's true. Amen. He's going to cause us to sit down and he is going to serve us a glorious heavenly meal that we can't even begin to comprehend. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Listen, we know he's the bread of life. We know he's the living water. We know that manna is not something Moses did, but God the Father sent down, and we know that was just a picture of Jesus Christ who would come. We know that we have partake of him if we would have life. I get all of that, but I'm telling you, friends, this marriage supper of the Lamb is something special. And we need to be ready to receive him. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for that day he'll come. What a Savior. It wasn't enough that he created. It's not enough that he gave us life. It wasn't enough that he was a sacrifice for our sins. Not enough that he rose again. Not enough that he's going to come again. But he will serve his servants. There is no limit, no bounds to the love of Christ. And can I say tonight, not only do you need to be ready to go, ready to open, ready to receive, but we need to be ready always. Be ready always. Verse 38, if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, ready and watching, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Now imagine this. Somebody calls you up, says, hey, I was at the store today, and I overheard some guys standing out around the gas pump, and they were talking about Bill Don Barnes' house. And they were talking about how they were going to go up there tonight about 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to break in and steal his stuff. Now, wouldn't you call Bill Don and tell him? Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't you call Bill Don and tell him? Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. As a matter of fact, I know most of you, a bunch of rednecks, you'd get your shotguns and be up there with him. Wouldn't even call the cops. You'd just go up there, get your guns, and y'all be sitting around in the shadows, being real quiet. Shh. And you'd be ready for them when they came. Listen, if you knew somebody was coming to your house tonight at a certain time, you would be waiting for them. You'd be sitting there with your gun saying, come on. Just come on. But you don't know. I told you the other day, thieves are dumb. And some of them are really, really dumb and do go around talking about what they're going to do before they do it. Most of them are just dumb and talk about it after the fact. But most of them are smart enough not to let the word out. If you're going to go rob somebody, you don't broadcast it to everybody. You want to surprise them. You want to catch them not ready. The point is, friends, that the Lord's coming, and you need to be ready always, because you don't know. Amen. As a matter of fact, look at what he says in verse 40. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. About the time you think he must not be coming, that's when he's coming. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I want you to know, dear friends, it's nothing new. It's all through the scriptures. The Son of Man is coming again. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus Christ is coming again. I want you to know, though, that we know Jesus is going to come. He's going to set his foot down on the Mount of Olives. He's going to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That's the second coming of Christ. But I want you to know also that there's the rapture, the catching away of the church in Matthew 24, 36. In Matthew 24, as Jesus gives these prophecies of his coming again, It's not all necessarily chronological in order, but verse 36 says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? Jesus is coming again. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to open the door? Are you ready to be received by Christ? But let me ask you this, because I think all of us tonight, I'm ready. I want to go to heaven. I'm ready. But are you always ready? Would you just indulge me to think back on this past week? Was there a day that when you look back, there's something in your heart and mind that says, you know, I'm kind of glad he didn't come that day? Was there a moment in this past week that you'd look at and say, you know, it's probably a good thing Jesus didn't come back right at that moment? Where you were, what you were doing, what you were saying, what you were thinking, that you'd say, you know, I wasn't ready. Friend, I believe with all my heart he could come back at any time. He's made it abundantly clear over and over and over. He's coming. And he's going to come when you don't think he's coming. So the only solution is to always be watching. Always be ready. It's the motto of the Coast Guard. Always ready. I've read countless stories of men and women, shipwrecks and different things that are so glad that the Coast Guard is always ready. They're always ready to go. They're always prepared to go. They're always watching. Always watching to spring into action. Friends, we need to be ready always. Always watching, always ready. Because Jesus is coming again. Let's stand together.
As our musicians come and get ready for this invitation tonight, I'm going to plead with you tonight. Whether you're old or young or in between, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die, I plead with you, get ready tonight. Repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone. Child of God, you know you're ready in the sense you know you're saved, but you've not been living ready always. You're ready maybe right now at church, but you're not ready on Friday night. I just want to plead with you tonight. You need to make a commitment in your heart. I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to live ready every moment of every day. That I'm going to be watching.